You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, wherever, whenever you may be listening. I'm John Vogel, and welcome to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor. Best place to start your podcast. All right. We are at the end of the week, guys. It's Friday. And our big giant story that I talked about briefly yesterday was dropped. But there is a good bit to get into with that. So first and foremost, I hope all of you all had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend planned ahead for you. And I hope that everything goes smoothly from this point on. Now, it's not going to go smooth for the Washington Redskins, or the team formerly known as the Redskins, current name to be determined. So, here's the thing. There were a lot of people, when this Washington Post story broke yesterday about the Washington franchise, that were disappointed with the actual result, the actual article. Here's why. Because we know there's more going on here than what they're talking about in this article. So, the report that dropped said there were 15 women between 2006 and 2019 within the organization that were sexually harassed and assaulted in efforts for them to move up and get promoted within the organization. I did not read the full story. The reason I did not read the full story is because it was published by the Washington Post, who posted it under a paywall. And I'm sorry, I'm not desperate enough to read this story that a million other analysts are going to chew up and spit out to pay for the story. I don't have that motivation or that desire. So that's the basic gist. There were 15 women. They interviewed 40 former employees of, you know, the organization of the franchise, and spoke with a lot of people trying to put the story together. Most of them spoke anonymously because they had signed non-disclosure agreements through Dan Snyder with the Washington franchise. All right, so first off, we know that there's more going on within the Redskins organization because we've seen the videos. The videos that surfaced last year, right before he got fired, of Jay Gruden looking either extremely drunk or extremely high, hanging out with a bunch of girls that appeared to be minors. It was not a good look at all. All right, so that's we know that there was stuff like that going on because if that's the video that's being released, there is way worse stuff that is not on video or not being released. Two, there's a way you can tell that this is a last-ditch attempt by the minority owners to try to overthrow Dan Snyder because they don't want to lose complete value in the team. They don't want the franchise to sink. So they're going to do what they can to maximize, or in this case, mitigate the damage from this story. Because they still want to sell their stake. They still want to sell their part of the team. They don't want to be a part of this anymore. But if they came out with everything that was going on behind the scenes with the Washington Redskins, then there wouldn't be any value left in the team. It would sell it at probably an all-time low. There wouldn't be much of a demand to buy it because you would be buying an absolute mess and knowing it up front. And so that's, granted, there's a lot of people that know already what's going on there. They have a really good idea. But that's not what this story was about. And this story focused on those 15 women, which is, okay, first off, that needs to come out. Let's not beat around the bush on that. Let's be very clear. That needs to come out. That's horrible. That's wrong. the thing, why the reason why there's some of us that are reacting, and you teased us for 2 days about this, is because this is going on, I guarantee you, across the NFL. This isn't just a one team type deal. And that's what makes it look so pathetic and so stupid, is the fact that you know that there's more going on. You know that this type of thing happens all around the league. It happens all around probably all sports, male and female, I would imagine. You know, because if you have a male coach and you want to start on the team, I don't see why that doesn't happen. It's happened before and been proven. So why are we focusing on this and not anything else? Because, like I said, they need to maximize the sale. They need to maximize the sale of the team. And this story was designed to be a bad look for the Redskins organization or the Washington franchise, without intrinsically hurting the value of the team. That's the problem here. We know there's a lot of drug and alcohol abuse by major people in that organization. We know that there were a couple coaches in on it. We know that there was a lot of sexual stuff going on. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to bring that up to the forefront. And this part article, too, only focused on the specific people that the minority owners would like to have removed. Basically, this is what bothers me about modern day media. We can't bring the full truth. We can only bring bits and pieces of it. The bits and pieces that we're going to talk about are going to be about the people we don't want around anymore. Everything is so political. Because that's what this is. This is a political game the minority owners are playing. That's what I don't like about this at all. Yes, the women, they were hurt. They did things they shouldn't have. The males coerced them into it in promises of better things and glory and fame or whatever. But we can't bring out the full truth, apparently, on things. And that's my biggest issue with this. They teased everybody for 2 days. Oh, it's going to be bad. It's going to be horrific. It's going to just... Pat McAfee. Oh, if this is it? Pat McAfee didn't see this. Pat McAfee saw something else. Where he's going, if this is it, it's going to be bad. It's bad. See, that's my problem. That was my problem with the report. You're going to talk about it like it only happens here. Well, we need to start getting other women, other people around the league talking about what other teams are doing this, because I guarantee you that most of them are, if not all of them. Most of them are. And that's what's sad, is we're going to pick on one because they're trying to overthrow an owner. And that's what's going to bring it. That's what brings it out. Not the fact that people want the truth. They want to stop this from happening. No, we want to overthrow an owner. We want him out of here. We're going to use this story as an opportunity to force him to sell the team. Or make the other owners step in and make him leave. Not because we care about women. Not because we care about women being sexually assaulted or harassed in the workplace, but because we want to overthrow this guy. That's my problem with this story. That's why it came out. Anyways, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got a whole lot of stuff to get into that's been going on around the nation. And that's all coming up next on the John Vogel Show.
Welcome back to the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place to start your podcast. If you are looking to start your own podcast, you need to check out Anchor. That's the place to start. You want to talk about something that makes it super easy, gives you all the tools that you need to create a podcast. They monetize your podcast with no minimum listenership. And they put it up on all the major platforms for you. You don't have to do a thing except work and produce. And it's totally worth your time. If that sounds like that works for you, go to anchor.fm today. So there was a topic that came up on Tackler. If you're not familiar with Tackler, Tackler is this small, it's right now at the moment, it's very small. It's a social media website that is designed for sports fans to get on and talk about sports. It has a lot of potential, I think. I joined it 3 weeks ago after angry NFL scout vet said that he had joined. That's when I signed up. And it has a lot of potential. They're also doing some sports writing and stuff, so they've got a website for that too. And if it takes off, man, Tackler is going to be a lot of fun. So you heard it here first. Go join it. There's a topic that came up on there about the Super Bowl and some NFC favorites. And I thought this would be an interesting topic to kind of bring up and get into on the show. Now, over the last several years in the NFC, we've seen some very, very loaded rosters on paper. Loaded rosters on paper doesn't necessarily translate to the next level, to a Super Bowl win. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because there are a few people that think that the New Orleans Saints are the best team in the NFC. And let me tell you this. The New Orleans Saints are the best team in the NFC on paper. They have done an excellent job putting their roster together. The pieces that they added this year, I think, in the draft are going to be pretty much immediate for the most part across the board. They did an excellent job, an outstanding job doing that. That being said, the Saints just seem to be one of the most pitiful stories in sports. They pulled it together once back in 2010 to go win a Super Bowl. And they've definitely had a roster worthy of playing in a Super Bowl since then. They've had a few of them, including last year's. I thought last year's team was the best one they'd had in a long time. In fact, I still think last year's roster is better than this one. And yet, they still couldn't get past the Minnesota Vikings, who for the second straight time in the playoffs knocked them out. The Minnesota Vikings are returning loaded. The Green Bay Packers retain most of their talent. That division's going to be fun. In the West, you've got the Seattle Seahawks. You got the San Francisco 49ers, who are probably going to take a step back. I don't anticipate seeing them back in the Super Bowl, but the 49ers are still a formidable opponent. I think the Arizona Cardinals could be on the rise. I don't think they're going to be in a Super Bowl, but I think they're going to make a playoff run. You see, the NFC has a lot of teams that are very good. Oh, we didn't even get to the other teams in the South. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be tough this year. The reason that they're going to be tough is because they have put together an offense that is going to last maybe 1-2 years at tops, but it's going to be really good while it lasts. It's going to be very good while it lasts. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys will definitely be contending for playoffs. Who knows who will win that division? I would imagine the Eagles. But that's a division that you really never know what's going to happen. I don't think the Giants are quite there. The Redskins are definitely nowhere near close. I mean, I'm sorry. The team formerly known as the Redskins, name to be determined. There's a lot of teams that are going to be contending for the playoffs in the NFC this year. That's fact. It's going to be a tough year for anybody to get through. The Saints have really all of their hope resting upon Drew Brees. Drew Brees here is the key to this puzzle, because if he continues to come out here and play at his high caliber level, the offense is going to be good. You have Michael Thomas. Tre'Quan Smith is on the rise. Alvin Kamara. Don't forget about Kamara. Latavius Murray. This is number two running back. You're going to fit Taysom Hill in there somehow. Like, this team. And then you added Cesar Ruiz to try to shore up the interior of your offensive line. Now you've got your offensive line pretty much locked for the next couple of years. Like, it's good. It's a good team. Good offense. And you look at the defense and you see a lot of the same. Cam Jordan, Jamar Davis, Marcus Lattimore. There's a lot of really good talent across this team. Excellent talent. Oh, and if Brees goes down this year like he did last year, you've got Jameis Winston who's going to step in, who you would presume would probably be a little bit better than he was last year. Maybe throw, I don't know, 50% fewer interceptions per attempt. I don't know. But you would assume he would be better. It's a good team. It's a good team, don't get me wrong. I have no confidence in the New Orleans Saints in the playoffs. I don't. Because I have placed my confidence in them. I have placed my confidence in them multiple times. And it didn't work out for me. That's my main deal. And so, I'm not sure who will be in the Super Bowl representing the NFC, to be honest. I think the Vikings have a really good chance to be that team. They already had a very good roster, and then they added 14 draft picks to it. They lost a few guys, yes. They traded away Stephon Diggs to the Buffalo Bills, but you still have Adam Thielen. They're more of a run team anyways. I really think the Vikings are going to make a real run at it this year. Year three of Kirk Cousins. Do I think they'll win the Super Bowl? That's really to be determined. I don't know about that. But the Minnesota Vikings are going to be really good this year. You heard it here first, by the way. Anyways, getting down to business. If you look at the AFC this year, you have to look at the New England Patriots. And you have to wonder if the New England Patriots are going to be that team. They're just going to be this. They went from losing their star quarterback of 20 years. Oh, they're in rebuild mode. Bill Belichick, he's in rebuild mode, and they signed Cam Newton. And then you've got all these people that were here in rebuild mode going, they're contenders. Cam is either going to be the perfect addition in New England, or he is going to be the worst fit. There is no in-between. It is either going to be really good or it's going to be really bad. I tend to lean toward thinking it's going to be really good. Bill does an excellent job with the talent that he acquires. They've mentioned it many times across many different sports platforms. He buys low and sells high. And he does this consistently throughout his career. Granted, some of these draft picks that they made, it was kind of like, I don't know. We usually do that. When we look at the New England Patriots draft classes, we usually do that. We look at them going, I don't know about this. I don't know. And more times than not, they end up being really good classes. So I don't know why we even try to critique the New England Patriots draft classes, even when we don't like them. Part of the job, I guess. I can't help but wonder if that's going to be the team this year. Because you got Buffalo, who's contending in that division right now. Buffalo's going to try to build off of what they did last year. Minus the wild card game with the Houston Texans. You got the Texans, the Titans, really the Colts too, that'll probably be gunning for it in that division. They'll all be pretty good teams. They're gonna be pretty good. They're gonna be better than most. But their records aren't gonna show it because they have to play each other. There's six games between the three of those teams. And then you're going to have Kansas City Chiefs, obviously. Maybe Denver. Denver might make a push at it this year. Denver could be explosive. Because Drew Lock definitely showed the ability to be explosive, not just last year in the NFL, but in college as well. I mean, obviously in college he was better, playing against less superior talent. But he did show that ability to be that explosive quarterback, using the talent around him kind of as a really good distributor. And that's all that they need in Denver right now, is someone who can just move the ball around. The two additions that they got in the draft with, you know, Jerry Jeudy and then KJ Hamler, pairing them with Cortland Sutton, picking up a tight end. Drew Lock's teammate, actually, tight end. That team could be really, really, really good. Then, of course, you got the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of teams that are going to be good over there, too. It's going to be a fun year. And you've got seven playoff spots per conference now, not six. It's going to be a lot of fun, guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. Anyways, that's about all the time we have for the show today. Thank you for tuning in. Also, thank you. We have hit five different countries that we have listeners in. So if you're in a foreign country outside of America and you're listening to this, I appreciate you listening in. It is cool to see your voice is being heard. Places like Germany, Australia, Ireland. It's pretty cool. And so thank you all for your support. And as for you all in America, the overwhelming majority of you, thank you. Thank you. We all love this country. We all want to make it better. Anyways, y'all have a great weekend. Take it easy. Be safe. God love you all. We're out.